In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'd like to think on the promises that God has given. And God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. The Bible tells us that in the book of Peter. God has given to us so many promises of the things that He has for us. And yet, it seems that so many take those promises so lightly. We sang good songs, but I remember the one there about, "Shall we gather at the river?" And you know, that's going to happen one of these days. All the believers are going to gather, and they're going to be there at that river that comes from the throne of God. And we're going to really actually see that tree of life. Now today we might think about that tree of life and it bearing fruit every month, and we're thinking, well, what? I don't understand that. You know, the leaves of the healing of the nations. But one of these days, we're going to see exactly how that works. But today, to a lot of people, religion and serving the Lord is not really real. But God said it was. And this morning, I'd like to just take a few minutes here and go through this book of Deuteronomy a little bit, just a few places, and see the blessings that God would have given to the nation of Israel if they would only listen to what He's saying. So, read in Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 1. We're just going to start here, and let's get the setting here. The time frame that we're talking about here in the book of Deuteronomy, and you know, we've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know about the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible. The time of the book of Deuteronomy, the whole book probably takes up about 30 days of actual time from chapter 1 all the way down to the last chapter. It takes up about 30 days. But in that 30-day period, when Moses preaches these three messages, and there's really three messages in Deuteronomy that Moses preaches to the people, he rehearses to them all the things that's happened in the last 40 years. Now, that's what it's about. Moses lived through two generations of the Israelites. Moses, as you remember, went into the land of Egypt. And it was Moses that led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. So Moses was acquainted with those people. Moses lived 40 years in the wilderness with those people. And he saw each one of those succumb to death. And their carcasses left there in the wilderness. Moses saw that. But now the generation that Moses is speaking to in Deuteronomy is the second generation. It's the generation of people that was under the age of 20. It's the generation of people that were children under the dominion of their mom and their dad. But now their moms and dads have died because of rebellion. And Moses is standing there before the people, And he's telling them, I want you to listen to the Word of God. And Moses has a real burden on his heart about this, because he's already been through 40 years of wilderness journeys. And he has already seen a whole generation die. Moses himself is facing death, because in one point where he was supposed to speak to the rock the second time to bring forth water, Moses struck the rock like he did the first time. And that's the same thing as crucifying Christ again. God said, you can't do that. Now, God honored Moses in bringing forth water both times. When Moses struck the rock the first time and when Moses struck the rock the second time. God honored Moses But God said, Moses, you can't go into the promised land. So Moses understands that he cannot go into the promised land. But the Israelites that he's talking to, they don't. And so Moses desires that they get it. So let's read this. And as we read these scriptures, let's make application to ourselves. Because the fact is that God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. But I'm afraid today that there's few people that even believe that He's given any promises. The Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray today that you might bless me. Help me, Lord, to deliver the word you've given. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to use it the way you desire. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our understanding. And Lord, help us to be blessed as we partake of this, your word today. Help us to feed upon it. Lord, help us to take the promises that you've given and use them for your glory and for your honor. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we find in verse 1 a marvelous statement that Moses makes of the people. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do. And lots of times we might say, well, to do is the same thing as observing. No, it's not. It could very well be that a lot of people observed the 4th of July yesterday by shooting off fireworks and having the family in for a big meal. But I wonder how many people thank the Lord that we live in the country that God has given us freedom in. There's a difference in just observing and just doing those things. But you'll see here in verse 1, if you read the verse, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. So there's an end to it. And the reason that you obey the commandments of God is that you may be able to reap the blessings of God. That's what he's saying in verse 1. If you keep these commandments, if you observe to do all these commandments, then you shall live, is what he's saying. And not only shall you live, but you shall multiply. Not only that, you shall go in and you shall possess the land which the Lord sware to give unto your fathers. Now that's a promise. But there's some things they've got to do in order to receive those promises. In verse 2, he calls upon the people to remember. You know, I think that it's wrong to live in the past. But I don't think it's wrong to remember the past and what God intends for us to learn as we go through this life. In verse 2, he said this, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, the generation that Moses is speaking to, well, they remember all of that traversing back and forth through the wilderness. They remember all the places they went. They remember seeing the old folks come to the place of death. They remember that. He said, I want you to remember that the Lord led you these 40 years. And here's why. Here's why you had to be wandering about over there for 40 years. To humble thee, that is to let us know who's in charge. To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. That's why they had to wander around over there. In verse 3, he said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. I want you to see how Moses words these things that happened to the people of Israel. God suffered them to hunger. That means God was suffering along with them. God was well able to give them all kinds of good food. But God suffered them to hunger. And He fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. Now look at this. Here's the reason that the people had to eat manna. You understand this? That God could have given them steak every day with no cholesterol. He could have given them all the leeks and the onions that Egypt had to offer. God could have given them everything. But instead, God suffered them to hunger, and God gave them manna. You say, well, manna was a good thing. It kept them from starving. But look what it says here. Fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. Look. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's the lesson of the manna? What's the lesson? And understand that God was able to give all kinds of different kinds of food, of different flavors and all kinds of things. But what God did was that He gave them this one thing. It's called manna. They didn't know what it was. Their fathers never seen it before. God gave it to them. Why? That they might learn one lesson. One lesson. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's the lesson of the manna? The lesson is this, is that you live by faith, not what you see. You think about the plight of the Israelites. And you think about that there were 2 million of them to be fed. And watered every day. And not one Israelite had so much as a can of sardines extra. They had nothing extra. No Israelite carried canned goods with them. No Israelite killed the animals that was with them to eat them either. They didn't have a jar of pickles extra. But what did they have? Every day, what did they do? Every morning, they got up early. And they went out and they gathered that manna. Every day, they got it, except on the sixth day. And then they gathered enough for the seventh day. What's the lesson? The lesson is this. You need to live by what God says, not what you see. You need to live by what God says, not by what you see. Because if you live by what you see, you're going to fail. And God forced them into a place where that they had to live by faith. Now God said here in verse 3, He said, I humble thee, I suffered thee to hunger, I fed you with manna. I could have fed you with the best of that the world has to offer. But I didn't. I gave you manna. Let me ask you, do you feel like your life is kind of hemmed in? Do you feel like that God restricts you and just pulls you down and makes your way narrow? I wonder why He does that. You know, the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, and few there be that find that narrow way. You reckon that God is doing something to us for a reason? You see what God is saying here? In this place, God wants the people to be so narrow in their thinking that all they're doing is relying upon what God said, not upon the things they see at all. Notice in verse 4, talking about provision.
Listen, and God can provide. We need to believe what God has said, that God will provide. He said, Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. What do you think? You were out there in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know what? The clothes you went into the wilderness with was the clothes you came out of the wilderness with. They lasted you 40 years. Was that because it's just real good material? Or was it because God made it last? God made it last. He said, your foot didn't swell, your raiment didn't wax old. It didn't. And the word wax old there is talking about that the word wax means slowly, that it will slowly gain or lose. So he's saying, your raiment never even got a bit older. I kept it. You know how it is when you buy that nice shirt or whatever it is, your garment, you buy it brand new and it's bright, and after you wash it about umpteen times, that it gets kind of dull and all the colors is kind of there. It's not as bright as it was. It wasn't so with the Israelites' clothing. It was as bright after 40 years. And it wasn't because of the Egyptian dye either. It's because God kept it. See, God can do that. That's what He's saying. So here's what He's saying in verse 1, 2, and 3, and verse 4. And I want you to think about all the blessings of God. I want you to think about how that God has kept you, Israel. I want you just to remember, just think back how God has preserved your life. And you've eaten food. And sometimes the way's been narrow, but it's because God wants to teach you to live by faith and not by sight. But then He says this in verse 5. I want you to consider something else. You remember how God blessed you? Consider this. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now, you know what chastisement is. That's when you get the spanking from the Lord. When I was growing up, they called it a whooping or a whipping. Now, of course, if you use that term today, people think you're abusing your child. The truth is that you're abusing them when you don't spank them, when they need it. But consider this. Consider it more than just in your mind. But Moses said, I want you to consider this in your heart, in your spirit. I want you to consider it in your life. That as a man chasteneth his son, and a dad and a mother chastens their children because they love them, and they want them to stay out of trouble, and they chasten them for that, and they spank them, try to make them do right. He said, that's the way the Lord's chastening you. Because He loves you. You can either listen or you don't. There it is. In verse 6, He said this, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. He goes back and refers back to verse 1. I want you to think back how God has blessed and all the promises that God has given. But I want you to remember that God is well able to chasten as well. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vine and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God said, I want you to remember this. Remember the blessings, verse 1 through 4. Verse 5, remember the chastisements. Verse 6, keep the commandments of the Lord, because God has more in store for you than you can ever know about. The Lord is going to show the Israelites a blessing
that they're not even used to. A thing that they've never even seen. Look in chapter 11. Look in chapter 11 and verse 10. As Moses here describes the land of Canaan again. Now, it's a land that Moses has never been to. It's a land that Moses will only look into before he dies. But he knows what's over there. Listen, have you got a glimpse of heaven? Have you got just a small glimpse of what heaven is like? We sing about them. We sing those songs about heaven. We sing those songs about going to be with the Lord. It's a place we've never been to. But it's a place that's better than we could ever even think about. Notice in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Moses says here, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt." Let me tell you, heaven is not going to be like down here upon this earth. It's not going to be like down here. From whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed, and watereth it with thy foot, as the garden of herbs. Now that's a neat little expression there. What does that mean? He said, now, if you think about where you're going, it's not like what you've got now. Because now, it's as if you have a small garden of herbs. And you have to irrigate it. When he says here that when you water it with thy foot, referencing the way that the Egyptians took water out of the Nile and had to water the crop all the time because it didn't rain down there. But God said, this is going to be different. Let me tell you, heaven's going to be different than we've ever seen before. And it's going to be different than we've ever experienced. He says in verse 11, "But the land, whether ye go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven." It didn't rain much in Egypt. That Nile overflowed down there, and that's how they got a lot of their irrigation going. He said, the land you're going to is so much better. Remember this, back over here, and we read this in chapter 8, where he says, remember all the things that God has done for you, but you're going to a better place. You're going to a much better place. He says in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 11, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. It's not like you've got to care for it. Like down here, thorns and thistles grow up. People get sick and they die. Have to go to the hospital. All kinds of things happen. And we've got to take care of everything. But here, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. That's where I'm going. He said, For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. See in verse 13, and keep reading here, and he's telling them, I want you to obey my commandments. When you don't obey the commandments of God, you're not going to get any of this. He says, that it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that you may gather thy corn, thy wine, thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. God is saying to the Israelites here that He has many, many, many blessings for them. But let's go back in chapter 8. Let's go back in chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. Moses is telling the Israelites, about this land. He says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and are full. All right, so I want you to remember something. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get into the promised land. Now listen, the words that Moses is saying here in verse 10, God wants these people to hear in the future. So how much in the future? Listen. How long will it be until verse 10 is really appropriate? When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou art eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds, thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good to thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has got me this well. Think of this. When Moses says these words, he wants the Israelites to remember that for how long? Think about it. Moses is their leader right now. Joshua is the next leader. Now the numbers are kind of evading my mind, but it's either 5 or 7 years that the Israelites took to conquer the promised land, the part of it that they conquered. And Moses is saying, after the land is conquered, and after you live in the land, you're still supposed to remember this. You think about the downfall of many is because they don't remember the goodness of God. They don't remember the goodness of God. They only look in front of them and see circumstances or whatever, and they don't remember the goodness of God. These Israelites, we're talking at least 10 years. Think of this. Think what's happening right here. Think of what's happening in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Think of what's happening. Moses is the leader of this people, and he is standing before them preaching a message, and he says, I want you to remember this message for at least 10 years. So, well, how could you remember any kind of preaching for 10 years? How would you remember it for 10 years? What would you do to remember it 10 years? So I just go play cards. That's a good way to remember. I'm speaking in jest. No. That's not how you remember. But that's what these people said. It's really what they wound up doing. It's really what they wound up doing. The people of Israel, when they took the promised land under Joshua, and they were faithful to God during the time that Joshua lived, at the end of Joshua's life, he said to the Israelites as he gathered them together, he says, I want you to make up your mind today who you're going to serve. You're going to serve God Almighty, or you're going to serve the gods who are on the other side of the flood, Egyptian gods. They said, we're going to serve God. Okay. The Bible says that though that generation that lived during Joshua's life, and that generation that overlived Joshua, that is, that knew Joshua, that they were faithful. But right away, they began to go away from serving the God. And that's where the book of Judges comes in. And how that God had to put them in captivity because they wouldn't listen to what he was saying. We just need to pay attention and remember the promises of God, because without those, it's not going to work. Now, look in chapter 9. Look in chapter 9. And Moses, as he preaches to the people, he gives them a warning that we need to take heed to as well. In verse 1, he says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven." Boy, that's a tall fence, isn't it? "Now people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand this. Understand therefore this day." He said, "Understand this." I mean, you got a battle ahead of you, but understand this. "That the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee." Now, God said, "I'm going to give you the victory, but I'm going ahead of you. There's a work for you to do, but all you've got to do is drive them out. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to break them. And all you've got to do is get them out." So there's a work that we've got to do down here. In verse 4, he says this, "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying." Listen, when the victory's been won, when the victory is won, do not say in your heart, "For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land." That's not the reason God has given us the victory. It's not because of our righteousness. He says this, "Here's the reason I'm bringing you in there. It's not because of your righteousness. It's for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." You're just the recipient of that. Verse 5, "Not for thy righteousness or for the righteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of those nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people." You know, we need to understand this. We're not going to heaven because we're good, or because of our righteousness. It's rather because of the righteousness of God upon us. That's the only reason. God has made a promise to Himself concerning His elect, concerning His people. And God has said, I will grant you all of this. Now, we've got a job to do. If you would, look in chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We've got a job to do. And he says in verse 12, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, we've got a job to do. And the Israelites had a job to do. He says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" So what does God want now? Here's what he says. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him and to serve Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." He doesn't want just superficial religion, but He wants it to be real through and through. Verse 13, "To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." What does the Lord require? Obey what I give to you. Obey the law.
Obey my commandments. Obey what I'm telling you. That's what he's saying. And he's saying it over and over and over again. He says in verse 14, Behold, the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. Is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that is therein. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. In verse 16, Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. That's what Moses said. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. Because they were stiff-necked people. And unfortunately, I'm afraid sometimes we're a little stiff-necked. We need to humble ourselves before Most Holy God and do exactly His commandments. God is able to give us great blessings, even today. Look in chapter 11, verse 23. Well, verse 22. He says, For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out those nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. God said, I can do it. And He can. And God can give us the victory as well. If we just listen to what He's saying and obey what He says. Verse 24, Every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as He has said unto you. So, God says, I'll make people afraid of you. And He did. You remember Rahab the harlot and what she said? God did that. So here in verse 26, Moses says, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. So Moses is setting it before the people. You can either be blessed or you can be cursed. What are you going to do? What about these promises that God has given? Listen, we've been given exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what Peter says, and that's the truth. But I trust today that we might be able to see further than just today. We might be able to see tomorrow. We might be able to see eternity. That we might be able to see the values that God has given to us. And what a precious heritage that He laid before us. If we just be faithful and true to Him and His Word. Today, if you're here and you're lost, I know that nothing you do is ever going to save your soul. It couldn't save me, couldn't save anybody. But let me tell you, you have an eternity that you're facing. And you're going somewhere when you die. You know, when I heard and saw Michael Jackson had died, I thought, well, that's a shame. And I think it is a shame. Now, I don't approve of his life or his lifestyle. I don't think God did either. But I think he had a soul. And the fact is, even though there would be a great funeral service, I don't know when that's going to be. I have no idea. I'm not going to keep track with it. Maybe it's already been. I don't know. But he might have a big funeral. But the rich man did too. And if people's not ready to go to be with the Lord, then they're not going to heaven, but they're going to hell. And nobody wants to think about that. I tell you what, there's a lot of people that die that go to hell because they've never trusted Jesus. And that's the message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Today, listen, if you're lost, you've got to count on Jesus. You've got to come to the Lord as a lost sinner, bring Him your sins, ask forgiveness of your sins, and trust Jesus Christ that you might be saved. That's what it's about. And I don't know your heart, don't know your soul, but you do. And if you know you're not right with the Lord, if you know that you're not saved, today is a day to be saved. Today is a day for you to come to the Lord. A lot of people look for rituals of the church, that the church might give them some kind of ritual thing so they can be saved. Listen, it's between you and the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And I pray today that the Lord will save your soul. Now, we'll give you scriptural baptism. We can do that. We can help you in your service. But when it comes to salvation, that's between you and the Lord. And that's it. Of course, all the service is also by the power of God. We pray God will bless you today. If you're lost, trust Him. If you're saved, continue to trust Him. And don't succumb to the temptation to look at things your way. But look at things God's way. That's the only way it's going to work.